Okay, welcome back, everyone. I'm welcoming myself back. The truth is, this is not going to be the schmooze. You know, usually when I do a schmooze, it's the schmooze. That's tomorrow night. Now I just want to schmooze. I really just want to schmooze. The topic that I picked is called Living Maseches Sukkah. Living Maseches Sukkah. It could be a crime, you know, like before a game, you have to have a huddle. So if you don't have a huddle, it affects the game. And this is basically a huddle. I was thinking about Maseches Sukkah. I really thought we were going to have to talk about a war. Baruch Hashem, you guys came to a ceasefire, which is a big bracha. But you get the schar of coming ke'ilu like you were coming to a war. You know, if you do something and you think you're getting yourself into trouble, so you still get credit. You still get credit. Actually, someone this week that I know had to change their flight in order to make a levaya, and it was going to cost them $5,000 just from one day pushing off the flight. And it was pretty painful, and they did it. And then Baruch Hashem, it worked out. The airline said that we figured it out, and you didn't have to lose the money. But you get the points if you try to. If you make an effort, I heard once from Rav Dan Segal Shlita, that when people are under certain impressions, that's the Nisayan. The impressions are the Nisayan, not what actually is happening. And you came here, the Mesiris Nefesh, when we thought there were going to be a lot of cancellations. So that's really what we're talking about here, is that we protect this country. That's the lesson of coming at this time. And Maseches Sukkah is about protection. We say, Ufrois aleinu sukkah shlomecha. Hashem should place upon us the sukkah of peace. Sukkah tends to be a protection, right? We know that the sukkah tiel itzel yomam mechayrev. The sukkah is supposed to be a shelter. That's what it is. Rosh Yeshiva gave a shiur today that a sukkah without shade is not a sukkah, right? The whole idea of a sukkah is shelter, and for sure when we learn the masechta of sukkah, we are definitely protecting Eretz Yisrael. So definitely our mindset should be that we're in dangerous times where overnight 600 or 700 rockets can just, you know, pour onto innocent people. And we need constantly the Prisas Sukkah Shalom. The B'nai Torah are doing our job to protect in Eretz Yisrael. We have to take it seriously. And that's definitely a message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us by starting this mom this way. And it's fascinating to note that a sukkah doesn't really have to be all that protecting in order to be a sukkah. In fact, I find it very strange. The whole Masechta is built off of interesting halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. You can have a wall that's over here and it moves 4 amos and it's officially here, but it's really over there, but it's here, right? So you have no wall here, but there's a wall over there. You can have less than 3 tefachim, you know, a bamboo stick, and then, you know, another one, and then officially they're connecting with Lavud. You can have a tzuras ha-pesach as a wall. You can have 2 walls and a little tefach, right? Not exactly a safe place to be. And nevertheless, this is called a sukkah. That's a protective place. And I think that there's something very deep going on over here, that we do things, we try to protect ourselves, but ultimately we understand that Hashem is our sukkah. And if Hashem tells us this is a wall, it's a wall. It might look like there's airspace, it might look like this is a empty area that's subject to all of the elements, but it's not true. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over us, He watches over us in a way that sometimes we feel like we're unprotected. We feel like we're not in a sukkah of sorts, but we are protected. And there's something special about this Masechta, which we need a huddle for. And that is that every Masechta is special, but we have to be honest, other Masechtas are not exactly practical for our day-to-day in yeshivas. When we have Baba Kama and you're talking about goring oxes, right? So once I was in Arizona on a bike and I actually confronted a bull. It was pretty scary. I mean, I'm like, wait, this is not the zoo and I'm not on a farm. That means this is a dangerous situation. I did not know what to do. A bull's head, by the way, is about this big. When you, I mean, I don't know every bull, but with the one that I saw, the head is this big. It doesn't, you know, so bulls are scary, but usually we're not in situations where we're running away from bulls or our bull gets upset at another bull, right? But these are the mesechtas that we learn, and we learn them because they first of all, they're Torah. Torah is real, wherever it is, whether it's practical or not for us in our lives, in our neshamas and in Shamayim, it's doing things that we can't imagine. And that's why we find that when people learn Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, or Baba Basra, or about Yevamos, maybe never will see a Yibam or a Chalitza in their lives, we find that they all of a sudden have better davenings. We find that they start to care about their friends more. The Torah does things even when it's not practical, because the Torah is really as practical to our neshama as anything that's in our hands. However, there's a special type of learning, called almanas lasos, learning things that you do. And there's something incredibly exciting about learning Maseches Sukkah, that we have a sukkah in front of us. And for me, this was a life-changing experience, learning sukkah. It's scary because I remember that I had to figure out how many years ago this was. But this life-changing experience, you'll see how old I am now, was 21 years ago for me when I learned Maseches Sukkah. It's time to do Chazara. You know, I keep saying, oh, I just learned Maseches Sukkah. I'm like, no, that was 21 years ago. I guess it's time. So nobody asked me questions. At least I have an excuse. 21 years. I don't know if that's a good excuse. But 21 years ago, I learned Maseches Sukkah B'Iyun. And it was a tremendous experience because it's an opportunity to see that the Torah starts from the Gemara and then goes through the Rishonim, goes to the Shulchan Aruch, goes to the Mishnah Brura, and the Mishnah Brura has a Bir Halacha where he discusses all these things, and you can literally see the whole process because you're in the Sugya. And part of the Mara Makomos are actually Mishnah Brurahs. The way it works, which it's important to know, is there's a Gemara, right? That's the Gemara we've grown to love and know, right? And then there are a few, there are Rishonim, and the Rishonim are the ones who we follow what they say, and we have to figure out how to tally up Rishonim. It's not simple how. But there are heavy hitters in Halacha. There's the Rambam, there's the Rif, there's the Rush, and then the Rush's son, the Tur, wrote what's called the Arba Turim, right? He's the one who named this Orachayim, which is all of the daily things that we do, and also the Yom Tovim, Shabbos, and Sukkah, Hanukkah, Megillah. It's all there in Orachayim. And he has Yoredeya, which is all the areas of Isser V'Heter. Kashrus is in there, and the like. All areas of Isser V'Heter. We have Evina Ezer, which is all about marital issues, and Choshen Mishva, which is monetary, right? He's the one, the Tur, the son of the Rush, was the one who codified Halacha into four compartments, right? Then came someone later on, 500 years ago, named the Beis Yosef, Maran Beit Yosef, if we have any Sfardim in the Maran Beit Yosef, right? The Rav Yosef Cairo in Svat decided that there's too much confusion about how we paskin. And he wrote a masterpiece work called the Beis Yosef. And in the Beis Yosef, he compiled all of the Rishonim that he held to be relevant lahalacha. And then he comes to a conclusion in that Sefer Beis Yosef. That Sefer Beis Yosef can be found as a perish on the tour. So if you go into the library over here, what you see, all the tall svarim that say the Arba Turim, that sefer, the Tur, was written by the son of the Rush, but on the side is Rav Yosef Cairo's masterpiece called the Beis Yosef, written some 500 years ago. That's the Beis Yosef. Then he had to come up with a bottom line, right? Everyone wants to know the bottom line. And the bottom line that he wrote is a sefer called Shulchan Aruch, which means a set table. right? He did a tremendous chesed for us, Rabbi Yosef Cairo. Instead of just leaving us to read this long Beis Yosef alone and not be clear on what his bottom line is, he wrote a sefer of bottom lines. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch is actually very short. I mean, if you just took what Rav Yosef Cairo wrote and took away all the commentaries on the side, you could probably fit the whole sefer into your pocket. But it's all bottom lines, bottom lines, bottom lines, bottom lines. Then there was someone living in Krakow at the same time who was working on the very same thing, right? For people who are working on Svarim, I mean, we're all human beings. Imagine two people working on the same thing at the same time that's supposed to change the world. You find out that someone else is trying to save the world, right? So there's famous stories of the modesty of Moshe Isserles, the Rama, that when he saw the work of the Beis Yosef, he said, this is going to be the safer for Klal Yisrael. I'm not going to take my Darche Moshe and, you know, say that we're going to have a machlokas Sfardim and Ashkenazim over here. I'm not doing that. I am simply going to look through the Beis Yosef, and where I see fit, I'm going to put over here on the bottom of the Sefer that the Ashkenazim do differently. And that's what he did. And if you look in the Beis Yosef, you'll see on the bottom Darche Moshe, just these little glosses where he disagreed with the Beis Yosef. But if you want to see what he really wanted to print in its grandeur, look in the back of the Beis Yosef and you'll see the Darche Moshe Ha'aruch, which is long. He could have wrote his own sefer. He chose to be join Rav Yosef Cairo, a beautiful story of achdus and tremendous modesty that we really can't fathom. And that's what they did. And now, in the bottom lines of the Rama, what he did was in the Shulchan Aruch of Rav Yosef Cairo, he wrote his own bottom lines. It's in a different, it's in Rashi script, and it's in a different font that you can see who's who. And he called it the Mapa, which is the tablecloth, right? Also of modesty, right? Imagine someone working on the same thing, and instead of, he calls it the Shulchan Aruch, and I'm just the tablecloth. But that's what he did. And to see all this coming together when you're learning a Masechta in morning Seder, it's kedai to be mindful of this process. This is an opportunity to see the halachic process at work. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says that people who learn halacha alone, meaning they make that what they do in morning Seder, they just take out a Shulchan Aruch and tell me, Rabbi, just tell me what to do, and they spend hours like that. He says that's like eating peppercorns, you know, that they put on a steak. Instead of eating a steak with pepper, they just eat the pepper alone. He goes, that's not the way it's supposed to be. He says a steak with pepper is when you learn the sugya bi'iyun, and then you learn the halacha, it's like eating a steak with pepper, which is geschmack. I happen not to like pepper, but if you like pepper, right, you know, they have these fancy people who grind it for you at the very fancy restaurants. If you order a very expensive steak, in America, my father ordered me a steak. Five people came with the steak. It was like a whole parade. One's holding the pepper, the other one's holding the sides, and the other one's like singing to the steak as it comes out. Mamish, five people. Right? I don't know how they have the money to pay all these people to walk around with the steaks. Right? I don't know. But anyway, but learning bi'iyun, I told you we're just schmoozing tonight. It's not a schmooze. Learning bi'iyun is the steak, but the pepper, getting the geschmack, the flavor out, is the halacha. That's what Rav Chaim Volozhiner says. So sukkah has this feeling of being tangible. And when I was 19, I guess 18 or 19 years old, I learned sukkah for a year. And it changed my life. It changed my life. First, I went to a summer program before that year and they were learning sukkah. I'm like, I can't learn sukkah for a year and go to a summer program like this. But it was unbelievable. First of all, the Rav who was at the summer program spoke Hebrew. So that was going to be a problem. How was I going to hear a shir like that? But I started writing notes in Hebrew. After 2 months of hearing a Magid shir in Hebrew, that's when I began writing my notes in Hebrew. So that was a big breakthrough for me. And I went through the Masechta that summer. And then the whole year, I just kept going over the Masechta over and over again, different parts of it. And then I remember when I was saw a Tosfos, and I said, wait a second, this Tosfos doesn't fit with that Tosfos that I saw three blot ago. This is like my first problem that I ever had, like my own problem. And then I was like opening the Achronim or hearing about them. I don't know if I knew how to open them my own. Like, wow, I could be bothered by these people's problems? Like, this is amazing. I thought that they just make these things up. And, you know, I really thought that I was against Iyun. From the age of 17, when I decided to really commit to learning, through the age of 18, I was against Iyun because I felt that Iyun was making things up in the sugya. You read the Gemara, and then the rabbi just starts philosophizing about the Gemara. And then all of a sudden I realized, wow, this actually explains the Gemara better if you learn Be'iyun. That was like a huge gilui for me, that this is actually a process that gets clarity. I had a different Rebbe, and then I remember this Rebbe said one thing about Schach of the Sukkah. And then a few months later, he said another thing about the Schach of the Sukkah, which didn't seem to go together. And I was very intimidated by this Rebbe, and I was very serious about Shir. At that time, I was not getting enough sleep in my life. I needed a good Mashkiach, but I did not have one. And I was getting very, very little sleep. And I was learning Masechah Sukkah until literally in my sleep. Well, I saw Masechah Sukkah. I wasn't dreaming the sugya, but it was seared into my brain. I would close my eyes. I would just see Gemaras at that point. But I needed a Mashkiach, who was not very healthy. But I remember that I was so frustrated, I could not understand. The Rebbe, who was like, the Rebbe, oh, the Rebbe. He said this now. And when he said a few months ago this, then, so I remember I went over to all the big people in the shir. No one could help me. I was like ready to retire. I was feeling so bad. I went to the Rebbe and I said, Rebbe, I have a problem. I didn't understand shir. He says, what? You didn't understand shir? I said, yes. Rebbe said this now. But Rebbe said this at the beginning of the year. So I don't understand. And he gave me a grin, and it was a major turning point for me in my life. He said, you have a kasha on shir. And he didn't have an answer for me. I was like, I could have a kasha on you? Like, this could happen? But what happened was, the nature of the Masechta is that there's sugyas that it's all about mechitzas of the sukkah, the walls of the sukkah, the roof of the sukkah, the schach. The more you just keep going through it, the more you feel like, wow, I could have a chelik in this. And if you have enough time, which you do, over here, we're learning sukkah through Elul, and that's months. We basically have 6 months to learn Masechah Sukkah. You guys can feel like this is your Masechta, and the only way it happens is just by joining the Sukkah, joining him. I remember the Bechina that we had that year. The Rebbe wrote the following thing. He wrote, Mechitzos. Okay, this is after a whole zman. He goes, Mechitzos, walls, explain. That was the whole thing. And he wrote, Schach, explain. I mean, it sounded like a joke. We just sat there writing pages and pages, and it was a highlight of my life. I think this was a real, you know, you guys, anyone who's been here knows I haven't really spoken about a Masechta at the beginning of Zman. But when learning Sukkah, I feel like I have to express, because this is something that I really felt. And I remember when I got to the old La Rome Hotel, we used to go for Sukkot. For years, we went to, now it's called the Inbal. But when it was then called the La Rome Hotel. And the La Rome Hotel had a sukkah. I mean, this is a really interesting sukkah. The sukkah is shaped like a donut, basically. And in the middle, there's a big courtyard. And they just like make the whole thing a sukkah in the courtyard in the middle. And it's not simple what the walls are of the sukkah, you know, and how it works. And I remember getting there after I learned Masechah Sukkah, and I'm like, I'm posseling this thing. I like felt like, you know, I rule over here. And I went around with the Mashkiach, and I'm like, there's a double halacha l'moshe misin over there. That's not allowed. I'm like, is that Levud or, you know. And the Mashkiach, who's now a Dayan, we became close over the years. You know, you go enough years to a hotel, he's now a very big Dayan. He's like, what is going on? I'm like, how does this little kid have all these things? But it was months of Maseches Sukkah. 6 months of Maseches Sukkah makes you a Bilem over these things. You know, understanding their famous Chumras of the Chazon Ish called Maimed de Maimed. By the end of this month, at your sukkah table, you could say why no one holds like the Chazon Ish. Like, they'll say, you have the chutzpah to say that about the Chazon Ish? I go, five briars! Boom! Silent. They're going to set you up with girls after Yontif. You're going to have shiduchim. You're all going to be married after the next sukkahs. They're going to be so impressed by this. But it's a tremendous thing. When you pick out your esrog, you're going to be looking, you're going to want to find dots, problems. Shlish elyon, black, brown, white, red, purple, you know, anything, right? When you find a black esrog, the Gemara says there's a black esrog. I saw a tree with a black esrog. It was exciting. Like, wow, the black esrog! I went to a special park, where, you know, like a sukkah park, and they actually had the black esrog tree. It's actually an esrog that's black. So there's a real appreciation that can be received over here for the process of halacha, for the practical element. It has a sweetness to it. You'll really feel like you're in the sukkah this man. It speaks to us. It's tangible. It's tangible. We should capitalize on this experience. Rav Moshe Hillel Hirsch, Shlita, when I was in a particular yeshiva, there was a machlokas between two of the rabbeim in the yeshiva, whether or not they should have a Mishnah Berurah Seder, or they really just spend more time, just let them learn basic halacha, let's say kitzer, and have them learn chumash, because they don't know any chumash. These people came without any knowledge of chumash. And they went to Rav Moshe Hillel Hirsch. One side said Mishnah Berurah, and the other one said, you know, they don't know anything, and let's just give them basic halachas and fill up those extra slots with just, you know, chumash and basic yedias. And Rav Moshe Hillel Hirsch sided with the Mishnah Berurah slot. It was very interesting why, because he talked about what should be the goal of yeshivas that have people for 1, 2, or 3 years. And he said one of the goals of a yeshiva is not, it doesn't matter that in Mishnah Berurah it doesn't come as quickly as the kitzer, but you get an appreciation for the halachic process in a Mishnah Berurah. Now, normally in yeshiva, we don't learn Mishnah Berurah. We learn kitzer because we have to get through the halachas. But in morning Seder, you can learn Mishnah Berurahs. You can even have a kash on a Mishnah Berurah. You know how great it feels just in the understanding of the sugya. You learned the sugya with your Rebbe. You read the Bir Halacha and go, I don't understand why the Chafetz Chaim came out this way. I would have come out differently. And you start discussing it back and forth with your Rebbe, right? And you feel the whole process come together. And we should be zocha to capitalize on this opportunity. It's a great zman. It's going to be a great limud. And finish the Masechta. Master the Masechta. It's not too difficult, this Masechta. It's difficult enough that it's going to be incredibly challenging. But it's not something that you're going to feel like, get me out of here. You're going to feel like, I can know this. I can write 10 pages when it says mechitzos, walls, explain. When it says schach, explain. I can do this. And we should all be zocha to bring nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, protect Klal Yisrael with our learning, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mekayim ufrois aleinu sukha shleimecha.